be seated. There's two texts up there this morning. I'd like you to look at both of them with me. The first one's from Isaiah 55. And please note, if you would. Come all of you who are thirsty. I'm sorry, 55 verse 1. Come all of you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know, that do not know you, will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn brush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. A praise the Lord kind of a section. Yes, absolutely. The second one comes to you from Luke. Chapter 8, familiar story for you, hopefully. We're going to see if we can learn from it. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. The ground is what's significant, but we'll watch it. Here we go. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons that had come out, Joanna the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd had gathered, the people were coming to Jesus from town. After town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." All right. The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear the word, who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. And those who hear, but the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by perseverance produce a crop. I would like to invite the children to come down, if you would. Come on down. Come on. Pile up. Come on. Squeeze together. You can get there. Come on. There we go. Yeah, there's room here. More room in front. Room over there, too. Keep coming. Bring Daddy down. That's fine. All right. This is a test. You ready? What's this called? What's this called? How many do we have? Good. You passed the test. Well done. End of the sermon. How many of you can hear me? Should I talk louder? Should I talk softer? Somewhere in between's okay? Okay. Good. There's an interesting thing about ears. They can hear things, like if I go like this, what do you hear? A knocking. They can hear things, but they sometimes pretend like they didn't hear it. I'm going to tell you two true stories about how dumb I was when I was a little kid. Now, you can't hold them against me, but I do want you to know about them. Number one story. My mother was making chocolate chip cookies. Do any of you like chocolate chip cookies? Yes. Good, me too. And she had a mixer. And she was mixing the dough and the flour and the sugar. And she had put the M&Ms in it. And she had to go somewhere and she said, Bruce, don't touch the M&Ms, or not, excuse me, the mixer, and don't touch the cookie dough. Now, did I hear it? Yes. Did I do it?
No.
I stuck my fingers right in to grab some cookie dough, and they got ground up. I had to go to the hospital to get my hand bandaged because I thought I was smarter than my mother. I have a picture of this hand with this huge bandage on it, and it was and it hurt, and I cried. Did I hear? Did I do it, though? Second true story. Long time ago, before they had automatic washing machines, and I would be sent outside on the washboard. No. Mom had a washing machine downstairs that she had to fill with hot water from a hose. So she had laundry tubs and she filled it with hot. And I was down there playing with my mother said, don't play with the hose. Don't touch the hose anymore. Don't play with the hose. It could burn you. Did I hear it? Did I do it? That's pretty dumb because this water was so hot. I pulled the hose. It came flipping out and burned me. I was all in my clothes. It burned me all down the front. And I have another picture of being wrapped all the way around with a bandage to cover up all the burns on my chest. Now, Jesus is going to say something really important. You listen for it in the sermon. Maybe I can find it for you. Here we go. It's around. I know. I laugh at it when I see it. Anyway, Jesus is going to say something very important in the sermon. He says, if you have ears to hear, then you better listen. Now, he's not talking about, can you hear the noise? What's he talking about? What was I supposed to do? If I heard my mom say, don't put your fingers in the, what should I have done? Listen to her and not touch. When she told me, don't play with the hose, what should I have done? Not touch the hose. Now, I know none of you are as stupid as me. Because when your mom tells you to do things, you all do it right away, right? I don't want you to have stupid stories. All right? Because my stories are true, and I really was that dumb. And I remember my fingers getting chopped up, and I remember my chest getting burned. Okay? I don't want that to happen to you. Can you remember that? But in the sermon today, I'm going to be telling the big people, if you got ears, you better listen and do what I'm God's telling them to do. Can you remember that? Good. All right. Ladies first. And don't take too long. Or kids that don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Grab one, leave right away. I'm starting the countdown. 5, 4, 3. Ladies got to get done. 2, 1. That's it. Come on. Grab one. Go for it. 5. Go. Someone get in here. Just 1. 5 foot. Ladies, hurry up. Out of the way. Hurry up. Go, go, go. 5, 4, 3, 2. You got to get out, hon.
Thanks, Pastor. Thanks, Pastor.
Someday I'll get the distribution right again. Thank you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What a silly statement. It's Jesus talking. Of course I'd listen. I'd like to pretend I got a lot smarter. But it's still working on that. True stories about my life and how difficult it is to hear something but then to follow through on it, to actually carry it out. We're in a very interesting section, which is this section. This parable is found in 3 of the 4 Gospels. It has sometimes a little different twist here and there. I think Jesus obviously used the parable more than once, so I don't get too upset by one little phrase added or pulled away here or something else like that. But the importance is, do you understand the significance of the parable? Because you start to identify the characters. It's just some unnamed farmer, and he goes out to sow seed. That's all you hear, okay? And that begins the parable. And then he describes for you 4 settings that the seed land on. And the significance is, where does the seed land on when it's preached in your church, or you're read it by somebody in your family, or you hear it on the radio? What is it falling on in your life? In one sense, you can ask the question, what kind of ground am I? Because it's labeled here, and it identifies for you that I remember, you start looking at this, you go, I'll be thankful if 1 out of 4 of you make it to heaven with me. And I remember I told you once I was working at Milwaukee Lutheran. We had a chapel service with Pastor Musser, came over from Our Redeemer. And he looked at us and he said, I want to tell you guys what I told my congregation Sunday. I will be thankful if 1 of 10 of you actually make it into heaven. He said, guess what? They were shocked. Guess what? I was serious. I don't want that to be true, but he was getting it to 10%. I at least got it to 1 out of 4, which is only 1 of the grounds receive the word and produce fruit. So if we're meant to interpret that as a proportionate number, it means 1 out of 4 of you might get something that is of lasting value from the word of God if I preach it fully, accurately, and completely today. And you begin to go, whoa, that's really serious stuff. Also, please understand, this is a judgment parable. This is not, oh, shucks, I like you guys. He says, I will start teaching with parables And only those that have the Spirit will understand what in the world I am saying at all. And you begin to understand. Parables many times have judgment with them. The 10 virgins, 5 make it into heaven, 5 don't. You understand parables have weight to them. And they have, you know, reaction. You're supposed to hear it, respond to it at some level. So we begin to go down this list and you begin to identify the very simple characteristics. The first one, the seed falls, and you got to understand the sower is reaching into a bag. He usually hung around. I used to have a pastor bag I could hang on my shoulder. Just reach there, grab a handful of seed, and sprinkle it across the ground. They didn't have planting machines or anything else like that. And that was the way the seed was scattered. And you would scatter the seed on the ground, and you would have worked up some of the ground, but there would be paths through your field, and there would be different situations, and sometimes your throw would be a little bit off. You're not going to go back and pick up the 10 or 110 little seeds that fell along the path. You're going to see how well they do and hope they grow. But it says they fell along the path, and it says they got trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Not complicated. We're going to explain it in just a minute, but you've got to get these pictures clearly in your head. Certainly the people of Jesus' time pictured it instantly. They understood exactly what it was. The second one, if you pick up there, some fell on a rock, and it began to spring, began to grow. But the rock could not hold moisture, and the roots of the plant could not get moisture from anything, and so it dried up and shriveled up and disintegrated and died because of where it landed, the kind of soil slash rock it was on. Then it goes to the other one. It said some fell among thorns, and as the thorns grew up, they slowly began to choke off that which was the good seed. And they covered it up, destroyed it, and it lost its ability to produce any fruit. Then the final one, the fourth example, is it fell on good soil. It grew right. It grew down into the ground. It got the water and nutrients it needed. And it produced in that field 100-fold of what he had sown as seed. And so you begin to understand. Parable, super easy to understand. Not complicated. Here's the question. Do you get it? What would you focus on if I or someone else wasn't explaining it to you? You understand? What should I compare myself to? What should I learn from the parable? And so Jesus throws in that next line now, and he calls it out to all this crowd. Are you listening? Can you hear me? You need to hear what I'm trying to tell you. Now, he didn't have that, maybe that intonation, but it had the weight to that. It was the same way how easy it is for a kid to hear what mom said and be stupid enough not to really listen to it and take it to heart. How capable a grown man is to hear what God says and pursue just the opposite, wondering why it's ruining his life, his circumstances, his family, and everything else like that. And God answers back, do you have ears? Are you listening? Or are you just hearing the vibration of the words hitting your brain? Now, should I go and say, it'd be very thankful if 1 out of 4 of the people in my church get the depth of this message when they walk out of the building? Or should I step into a higher hope, which I want all of us to understand the message that's here in this text? His disciples go, can you tell us what this means? Now, you may know it because people have helped you through it. And I read the whole text to you. But they didn't have that second part. And they're going, what in the world is he talking about? Seed falling on the ground and a sower. And what is it? What does it really refer to? And then you and I and the disciples get the revelation, the insight, the interpretation. He goes on and he says this, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. Do you get that? Do you understand the seriousness of that? You mean I can read God's word to somebody, I can share it with them, and they cannot hear or see a thing. Yep. Do you understand this is a judgment verse? You're going to be looking right at it. You're going to be hearing the words, but you're not going to get it. You're going to be grabbing the hot hose. You're going to be messing in the blender or the mixer and have your fingers chopped up by it. And he goes, do you understand what I'm talking to you about? Because now he's getting very serious as he begins to say, I'll teach them, but I'll teach them in parables. You'll understand, but they won't. And you're going to go, why? The answer goes, because I'm serious with what I share with you. Because it means something. When I tell you don't play in the street, when I tell you don't jump off the roof, when I tell you don't hang around people like that, whether it's God or God's agent on earth, mom and dad, or somebody else who loves you sincerely, do you have the ability to listen and actually take it to heart? Or are like you, like me, stubborn, single-minded, focused on what I want and everything else? So here we go. Now we go into the meaning of the parable. And again, not complicated. The path falls on the path. Gets trampled on. The devil comes along, represented by the birds, and eats it. We can describe people like this. You have to understand, this is a real situation. It isn't that, here's the miracle. The seed is never the problem in any of these situations. The sower isn't the problem. The sower sows good seed. The seed has the germination process that it has to have in order to bear fruit, but it lands on soil that will give it no place to grow. Or in some cases, soil that's absolutely vulnerable to the lies and deceptions of the demonic in this case. And Satan comes along and devours it before you even make it from the sermon to the car. How many times growing up at different times or life experience where you hear something in a sermon, you go, oh, it was a good sermon, but in the car, by the time you get there, you're having a disagreement with your spouse, your kids, or you're in a mood because everything you just learned in church got eaten away before you even got out the door. You begin to go, is that really what's being talked about? Yes! Do you understand you're under attack? Do you understand your children can sit next to you, be sitting in church, and not hear a thing? They really don't get it. Pastor said, don't be as stupid as I was. But they'll still go home and do the foolish things that they're not supposed to do, that a loving mother and a loving father told them, don't do this, it will hurt you. And still they do it. And then you begin to go, and big people, before they leave the church, find themselves so vulnerable to demonic attack that it's gobbled up before it even gets a chance to germinate and begin to grow in your life whatsoever. Second example comes along. Please note, those on the rock, they receive the word with joy. Oh, this is so cool. They did receive it. They got it. It landed on the rock. But there was nothing there to retain moisture. Nothing there that was able to sustain the life of the seed that was growing on the rock. Wasn't a problem with the seed. Wasn't a problem with the roots. The roots had no place to go in the person represented by the rock. I am full of myself. There's no place for your word to go, God. I have my own perceptions. I've never been comfortable thinking like that, and I will not change, and you cannot change me, God. I know what it means to be a rock. I am an island. And you begin to go, is that really what we're capable of? Of course it is. How many people love to say, I don't have to change. This is the way I was born. And those kind of stupid things that we're capable of saying. And you begin to understand, why do we do this? The answer is we've become a rock. The Word of God says, don't do this. Put the hose down. I know more than my mother knows. And you think, after I get that a few times, I would learn. I still have many more stories for just big people. All right? And I begin to go, how come people who are not in one sense stupid can be so stupid? It's kind of like, how did this happen in my life? Well, you broke this law, you broke this rule, you destroyed your family and your wife this way, this way, and this way, and you're wondering why your life sucks? You're wondering why it's not going in a good direction? You've taken everything God has said, and you have become a rock. You go, oh, that's so good, that's so true, that's so good, but you won't let it penetrate any part of your personhood, your life, or your attitude. It goes on to the next one. Some fell among thorns. And you got to understand, even when they till the ground, some places along the edges, the weed seeds are there also. And it says the stuff, the good seed grew up with the thorns and the thistles. And you got to understand, something's interesting about the thorns and thistles. They don't choke you as fast. Birds eat the seed, it's gone. The first hot day, you dry up on the rock. But thorns and thistles wear you down. They wear you down with bad friends, bad TV, bad stuff you're listening to, horrible situations that you're presenting and bringing into your life, and the list goes on and on. It even lists them for you here. It says, the thorn stands for those who hear, but they're choked by worries, riches, and pleasures. Which ones are you most subject to? Worries, riches, and pleasures. Certainly can touch every part of my life at one point or another. And you begin to go, and they begin to choke off the word. So in one sense, it's like someone puts their over your ears and pretty soon you can't hear God or his word. It's been choked off from you and you are no longer who you used to be at all in the Lord. It's been dissipated. You choked it off by who you hung with, the kind of stuff you listened to, the kind of wickedness that came out of your mouth and out of your heart and the way you badmouth people around you and everything else like that. Then finally we read, there's a seed that falls on the good soil, and that good soil is able to receive the word. It's able to allow the word to root in their life, and then it implies that it says they retain and by perseverance produce a wonderful crop. The idea of cheerful endurance, they hang in there. They don't give up. And so now, the issue for you and I is try to understand. The sower is you when you're preaching God's word or saying it. The power is not you. A sower can't make seed grow. All he can do is get it into an opportunity for it to respond. And so the sower himself or herself is simply taking the word of God and giving it to the people around them. What the seed does next is up to the seed, which is God's power, God's word, God's authority, and the person that's allowing that seed to rest on their life. Because, of course, the ground is your heart. The ground is you, your life, whatever you want to call. What do you have? How open are you to receive what God wants to say to you if the sermon goes in a direction you particularly don't want to hear today? Because I have a cousin or a friend or that touches my life too close, or you're asking me to stop being this way or drinking that or doing this or doing whatever. You begin to understand God is opening up this door going, I want to know what kind of ground I am going to have to deal with in you. Now you have to know God's heart. God's heart is to cause the word to grow. He doesn't take it away from the stupid people along the path or the foolish people that have turned to rock and are the individuals that are slowly being choked. That seed's still growing. It's still bearing the potential to bear fruit. I mean, if I'm smart enough to recognize I have friends that are weeds in my life, boom, boom. How complicated. It's called weeding the garden. We call it cultivating on the farm. You go through with the tractor and it turns the ground over where all the little weeds are trying to grow up between the corn. And it turns the ground over and buries the weed and stifles it so now the corn can continue to grow and bear fruit 100 times, what it was that's sown in the ground. And you begin to understand, here's God trying to speak to us, this very message. And so the word, the seed, is perfect and flawless. The sower is anyone, you, me, anyone preaching, teaching a faithful word of God, or you opening up your Bible and reading it. And God goes, are your ears open? Are you listening? Why? Because I'm going to tell you, don't be dumb enough to put your fingers in a blender. Better use the word mix-max, though, because that's what that was called. But then kind of the beaters went together and it chewed my fingers up. And don't be dumb enough to grab the hot water hose, think you can control it. And he goes, which ground are you? And so here's the challenge that we have for ourselves. And you got to recognize, that's what's so beautiful about the whole concept, the whole presentation. Jesus goes, you've got to understand this. This is what every parable is about. The question is, what kind of ground are you? Are you fertile? Are you willing to be broken up, pulled apart by the work of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to put your friendships on the line and say, Lord Jesus, here's Mary Smith. Here's Tom Johnson. Here's Bill. Here's, you've put them up there. Should I keep hanging around with this person? Is this person good for my life or bad for my life? How many times do you hear these stories of woe presented by you by families who love their children, raise their children with sincerity and gentleness, and suddenly she meets this guy? Were any of you that guy? And her life changes and her mother is crying because she has turned into such a different young woman than she was before. And that's when it gets really tough, because what's happening is that weed is right next to her and she has to have the guts and the courage. And this is what I'm saying to you kids. You have to have the courage to have your ears open, listening to God, because when God tells you something, he's dead serious about it. Get that person, that man, that woman, that guy, that girl out of your life. They are not good for you. They will choke off your faith until there's nothing that looks at all like you used to look at one time. And all you will have growing in your life is the weeds and the demonic work that's all around you. And so here we sit today asking the question, Lord, make me fertile ground. Lord, I repent of the areas of hardness in my life. Lord, I ask that you'd make me aware of the areas where I have become hard-hearted and not willing to hear or see what your word's trying to tell me. And Lord, I pray that before the devil comes and snatches it away, that it would actually begin to bear fruit in my life. Because I want what you want to give me, Lord. Here it comes. I want that one little seed that touches your heart today to touch 100 things and make every one of those things better, because you let that seed, that word, that message permeates your heart. And so you begin to see how this parable, the disciples are going, oh my goodness. If you have an ear, listen. Okay? If you don't, you're going to find yourself hearing it, but not getting a word out of it. And so that's how you walk through this. You come to the end and then you begin to understand. God is calling his disciples to faithfulness. He's calling them into being fertile ground. He's calling them to understand there's never a problem with the word of God. There may be a problem with the sower if he gets bad. In this parable, there's no problem even with the sower. But if I don't sow an accurate word, then I can't expect it to bear the fruit it's supposed to bear. But you also have to understand, what kind of ground are you today? Pray with me if you would. Lord, in my life, there are all four types of ground going on sometimes. I sometimes seal myself off against you and become rock hard to a truth you're trying to wake me up to. I choose and love sin rather than loving you. Then sometimes, Lord, I'm trying to absorb what you've given me and I feel Satan snatch it right out from under me before it can even begin to bear fruit or germinate and begin to produce growth and fruit. And then other times, Lord, I choose to hang around or listen to or watch or participate in things that just suck the life out of me, Lord, thinking I can survive it, and one day finding myself so drifted away, Lord, that I've lost a heart for you and I've lost a commitment to you. And so, Lord, for each of my brothers and sisters and myself today, I pray that they would be smarter than I was, that they would listen to the word and the truth it brings, like I should have listened to my mother, that it would have prevented a huge amount of turmoil, pain, suffering, and I would have been in a totally different situation if I would have just heard and listened to exactly what had been told me. Lord, open our eyes and our ears. Help us to hear the gospel and the purity of your love and pour it out into our lives. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Join us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the blessing of your open ears to our petitions and praises. And Lord, we've got a number of here in our congregation, and we just raise them up to you, Lord. You are good and faithful, and we know that you have good for all of us. And Lord, we just pray that you receive our prayer, and we know that you do, and that we also accept your answer and how that goes. Help us to understand that you're God and we're not, but we know that you want to hear our prayers and our petitions, and we bring them to you, Lord. First, we bring a couple of prayers for health and healing, and first with Dave DeBruin having surgery tomorrow. Lord, we just pray for the medical team that's going to be working on him. And Lord, just give them eyes to see exactly what they need to see to deliver him from the disease, and skill and knowledge. And I know that you've been working on that with these individuals for a long time through education and experience. Lord, we just pray that all goes well, and that your hand is upon Dave, and that you heal him, and you give him peace and a level of comfort. There's a lot of discomfort coming, and most of all, the knowledge of you and trust in you, and know that your love for him is true. Lord, we also pray for Mary, Laura's friend, who's preparing for home hospice for cancer. And we know that these are very serious days when it's time for hospice. We pray for healing. We know that you are the healer, and that if it be your will, that you can take that away and restore her to health. But Lord, we also more pray for her soul and for her heart and for her faith in you to be strengthened and created new. And that through this experience, whatever the destination is, Lord, we know that that there is glory and that there is unspeakable joy coming her way with faith in you, Lord. And we just pray that you walk with her, and that she knows your presence and walking right beside her through the difficulty of the brokenness of this world that we're in. Lord, our sin has brought these things upon us, and it is not what you had for us, but you have a way to take us through and be returned to perfection with you, Lord. Lord, we also pray for a different type of healing. Cindy's family took custodial custody of a nephew for the past 4 years. And this nephew is 8 now, was 4 when this whole started. And his mother now has been clean for almost 2 years. And reconciliation is wanted in all parts. So, Lord, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place between mother and son and sister and sister. And those are sometimes harder than the physical healing that our bodies need. And we just pray that, Lord, that you give them your heart and your eyes, those eyes of reconciliation, Lord, and help them not to be judgmental. Help them to accept the words of repentance, of turning, or, you know, the condemnation with a point of you know, with the best construction on it, understanding that each of these people, each of these individuals want what's best for all of them, and especially for the child that whose custody is in question in the future, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that your spirit flows through that, and that your love and grace is just flowing through their veins, through their words, through their heart, through the air that they breathe, Lord. And we pray a blessing for this. We pray that as we move forward, that we look back at this time, you know, years from now, months from now, that we can look back at this time as a time of great blessing for these individuals. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Father, we pray for a young lady named Emily, who's going to be having a chemistry test that she needs to pass in order to make it in nursing school. And it's challenging for her, and we're asking, Lord, for you to give her ability, understanding, clarity, help, assistance, that she might not only pass it, but do well, pass it with great confidence, and that would grow in her ability to understand and use that in the ministry or service that she wants to do, becoming a nurse. We pray for her and her boyfriend, too, who don't know the Lord. And we're asking, very importantly, no matter how this turns out, Lord, that you would touch her life with your grace, your encouragement, open her eyes to see and understand your call upon her life and work either through her or boyfriend or both at the same time and bring them to a living, walking faith with you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for a guy named Joe who wears a cross that declares Christ saving him 6 years ago from a very bad life. We're praying that you would help him to find a good home, Lord, a church home where he can be nurtured and encouraged. We thank you for the cross that he has as a reminder of how much you've saved him from. Now we ask, Lord, that you'd open the floodgates of heaven and carry him to what you want to carry him to, so that he doesn't have to look back, but instead he can begin to look forward with confidence and peace and assurance that as you have worked in his life, you are going to continue to open up doors of opportunity for him. We pray for a Bill and Diane who both have COVID. Bill's a little bit worse off with it, Lord, and so we're asking that you would particularly guard him, but we're praying healing for them both. We're asking, Father, that you would give them wisdom, give the doctors courage, give them wisdom on the right treatments, and in your mercy and your grace, Lord, help those treatments to be correct, selected properly, administered properly, and bring about that healing that we desire for both of those people, Lord. And I'm asking for thank you for a successful surgery, Lord, for a woman named Joyce who had brain aneurysm. Lord, there are so many blessings that we just skip if we're not careful. So many yeses to the prayers. So much grace you pour out. We ask, Lord, that we would live in hope, confidence, that you would find fertile ground to bear fruit in our lives that serves you and furnishes blessing to people around us. So come and watch over us. And we join together in the prayer you've taught us, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.